go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. It's Jim Hansen sitting in for Frank Gaffney. And we're joined this segment by Gordon Chang. Gordon is a columnist for Forbes.com and also writes for the World Affairs Journal and is an expert on all things Pacific Rim. Speaking of that, Gordon, you wrote a piece recently discussing how the Chinese seem to have an issue, a large issue, with the amount of gold reserves they have on hand or are reporting on hand, somewhere in the vicinity of potentially a couple thousand ton discrepancy. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
On the 17th of this month, the People's Bank of China, which is the central bank, revealed the country's official gold reserves, and they announced that they were holding 53.32 million troy ounces of gold. Now, that sounds like a lot, and indeed, it's up 57% from the last time they announced a change, which was April 2009, but most analysts thought they were holding much more. Many analysts thought that China was holding twice or three times the amount that they admit to. This is interesting because one way to look at this is that there's 1,850 tons of missing gold. And the question is, where is it? Did the Chinese actually tell us the truth about their gold holdings? Or maybe perhaps they didn't buy as much as people thought. So there is going to be a lot of analysis because I think this actually shows some very important trends in the Chinese economy. One of them being is that the Chinese central government is not in as good a position as many people assume it to be.
But the Chinese have bigger problems with their stock market overall. Tell us a little bit about the trouble they've got there and how a lot of the folks who were talking about the Chinese being the next great power may have overestimated a bit.
Yes, on Monday, the Shanghai Composite Index, which is the most widely followed of the Chinese indices, dropped 8.5%. This is after Beijing had mounted a rescue. To put this in a little bit of perspective, going back to about a year ago, the Chinese stock market started this bull run, largely and maybe only because the Chinese central government thought that it was a good time for the Chinese people to buy stocks. So this was a reckless policy. The market came off of its recent highs on June 12th. There was a big, sickening fall. The Chinese government mounted a rescue, which looked like it worked. But Monday is the second straight day of stocks falling. The reason why this is important is because it shows a couple things. First of all, the Chinese government is really out of policy options, and that essentially the Chinese market and economy really wants to settle in at a much lower level. This means that China is at risk because its political system is dependent on continually delivering prosperity. And right now, China is in severe trouble with its economy. And the question is, what will it do? Will it lash out, which is a real possibility?
Now, they've done a lot in others. As you mentioned, they obviously are the big dog in the Pacific Rim, since we have decided to lead minus our pivot, but we're leading a lot more from behind. But they have a lot of mineral activity and oil activity in Africa. They seem to have been traveling around the world, buying up a lot of the precious metals, the heavy metals, the things that are required for industry. Is that where you see their ability to destabilize things, or do you think it might be military-based?
Well, I think, you know, in terms of China's purchase of minerals and oil, what they have done is they've never trusted the spot market, so they have overpaid for commodities, and now they can't use all the commodities they have committed to buy. So in one way, you know, China, regardless of what goes on in the South China Sea or elsewhere, you know, is going to have to dump commodities on global markets. That's not going to make a lot of people around the world happy, especially the Australians and the Brazilians who have sold them and want to sell them iron ore and other minerals. That's the least of the problems, though, we have with China. What I'm worried about is China going on an aggressive, provocative path. We see this with the incursions in Indian-controlled territory, and we also see it all the way in the South China Sea and the East China Sea. So there's an arc of problems that China is causing all around its southern to eastern peripheries. This is where perhaps history's next great conflict starts, And that's the thing I'm worried about. Commodities is the least of my concern at this particular time, although they will roil commodity markets, as they have already.
Unfortunately, you add to the list of places where the next great conflict could happen. Do you think there's a chance that North Korea could be a provider? I mean, people talk about Pakistan, and obviously they have proliferated before, but there's been a lot of talk about North Korea having worked with the Iranians on their program. Do you think there may be a transfer either in play or already occurring anywhere else in the region?
Well, the Iranians and the North Koreans have had a joint nuclear weapons development program for more than 15 years. And this is highlighted by, in October 2012, the Iranians from the Ministry of National Defense actually put weapons and technical specialists into a military base in North Korea, 53 miles south of the Chinese border. North Koreans have been selling technology and even semi-processed fissile material to the Iranians. So this is an ongoing problem. And with this arrangement, this framework agreement with Iran, if it indeed goes forward, they will have more money from which they can purchase all sorts of stuff, including missiles and chemical weapons and the like from the North Koreans. They already have done this in the past, so this just gives them more cash to spend on their North Korean friends.
Is there any chance? Now, obviously, that might ameliorate some of the problems North Korea has. If they're selling, you know, all these things, if the embargo is released, you can't buy from North Korea, though. They're still prohibited from exporting, so it'd still have to be under the table if the Iranians use them as a supplier. Is there any chance, though, they might go the other way and also supply the Gulf Arabs, or is that kind of a non-issue due to their partnership with Iran?
Well, the North Koreans will sell anything to anybody, and so they would love to sell to the Gulf Arabs, but I don't think that they will. The one big story here is that this administration, and especially the one before it, did not stop the North Koreans from selling the most dangerous technologies and materials around the world. This is bipartisan failure. And although I think we need to criticize the Obama administration for a lack of dealing with North Korea, you have to look at even worse policies in the Bush administration. The American people need to demand better from both political parties, because when we look back, perhaps the biggest failing of this and the previous administration will be their failure to stop the proliferation of the most dangerous technologies and materials from North Korea with China's assistance, and we did nothing about it. The American people should be outraged.
And now, given that we had the same kind of deal with North Korea as we're currently putting into place with Iran, and it didn't stop them and still hasn't stopped them, do you think then that the Iran deal may be a follow-on, just another failed attempt to put a good face on a bad situation?
The problem so much with the United States is not that we strike deals with Iran or North Korea, is we don't enforce them. And we say we put these deals in place and we say, oh, problem solved. Let's go on to the next issue. And so there's a lot to dislike about the Iran deal. But what is really bad about it is that there is really a lack of ability to inspect Iranian sites. Got to remember that it's not only just the sites in Iran itself, it's that Iran has got people in North Korea, and we're not going to be inspecting those people pursuant to this deal. No one's even talking about it. The administration does not want to talk about this issue of the partnership between Iran and North Korea and the assistance that China is giving both of those countries. This is a scandal. I mean, this is enough. It's by itself to sink the Iran deal, and we're not doing enough to publicize these issues because they are critical to our security.
Gordon Chang, who is a columnist for Forbes.com and writes for the World Affairs Journal. Thank you, Gordon, for your insights. Folks, that's going to wrap up Secure Freedom Radio for today. Frank will be back tomorrow. He will inform you and keep you educated on the issues that are troubling us today.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.